It's Tiffany. Thank you, Minister Willa, for greeting us this morning on this rejoiceful Wednesday. You said that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I say there's a song that says, rejoice, everyone rejoice with me always. So we're going to rejoice through this Wednesday. We're going to rejoice above and on top of our problems. We're going to rejoice and be glad about every situation. We are not going to let anything steal our joy on this day. Because, see, one thing, the world didn't give you your joy, and we're not going to let the world take it away. So we bless God for each of you. We thank you for dialing into the Master's Call on this Rejoiceful Wednesday, where our founders here on the Master Call are none other than Dr. P.K. Roberts from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon from Dallas, Texas. And we thank God for those mighty women of God who submitted and obeyed the call of God and decided to, let's do what God said do and start the Master's Call. The Master's Call started back on October the 25th of 2010, and we just approached our one-year anniversary, and we are looking forward with expectation and anticipation of the great things that God will do in this second year of the Master's Call. The scripture reference that this call has stood on can be found in Psalms 88:13, which reads, but to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. See, we put everything first here on the Master's Call because it is truly all about the Master. So our prayer comes before him every single morning that we gather on this call. And our email address for this call, if you wanted to send in a prayer request, praise report, any concerns, if you would like to be an intercessor on this line, then we invite you to use our email address, themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. Once again, themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. And all of our messages have been archived from the very beginning of this call, from October the 25th of 2010 till the present day. And if you would like to go back at any time, just visit our website. We invite you. So many of you have already gone there. But we want everyone to go back and just pull up a message, read through the information, and be inspired. Our web address is www.themastersmorningcall.com. .wordpress.com. Once again, www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. And see, the mission statement for this call, as you call in every day, is so that your lives can be empowered, enhanced, and enriched as believers as you begin your day, submitting first to the call of God and seeking him first for his voice, for his presence, and for his anointing to be upon you. So we bless God for each of you, the Master Call family. And the vehicle that brought us all together is none other than Artist International, where the founders are the Diaz de Leon family. And if you are an Artist International distributor on this line, I invite you to go into your back office and see what Artist has to offer, and also visit the www.artist.com/extravaganza website and www.artist.com/vision2012 to see truly where Artist is getting ready to go. At this time, I would like to ask Minister Willa if she would come back to the line and open us up in a word of prayer. Minister Willa, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me, Tiffany?
I can. Thank you.
Psalm 117 says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank and praise you for this day. As we said, this is Rejoicing Wednesday, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We magnify your name, Father. We worship your name. We exalt you because your name is above all names. Father, we thank and praise you through praise and worship. Miraculous things happen, oh God, in our lives. We thank you that there is healing and deliverance when we pray. We thank and praise you that there is freedom when we pray. Father, we thank and praise you for your awesomeness. We celebrate you this morning. We celebrate your majesty. We thank you, O God, for dwelling in our praise. When we praise you, Father, no matter what the situation, you always respond. Oh, hallelujah, you are worthy of our praise. Father, we ask that you please forgive us of our sins this morning. Help us to be like you, O Lord, in everything we do and everything I say. We say transform our hearts, O Lord, and in doing that, you transform our thinking. Father, we ask that you bless Martha Marie Preston's call after this call, O Lord, that to enable people, O Lord, to really excel and be in their purpose and do exploits and what you would have us to do. Father, we thank and praise you for the founders of this call, Dr. Vanessa and Dr. P.K. Roberts, Lord, that you continue to watch over them, continue to order their footsteps, continue to be that lamp unto their feet and light unto their path. And, oh, my God, the company that brought us all together, artists, bless it mightily indeed. Oh, Lord, we just thank you that your hedge of protection is over the company, over every employee, every distributor, oh, God. So we just thank you for that. Lord, we thank and praise you for the speaker this morning. Oh, God, we just ask that you bless him indeed, him and his entire household. Father, that you bless his congregation and everything he touches prosper. Now, oh, God, we bind the airwaves. Any interference that might want to come against this call, we bind it in the almighty name of Jesus. We call clarity. We call a wonderful transmission of the call in Jesus' name. We call everything that you have in store for us, that we get it, Lord, that we have already checked any thoughts at the door that are not of you, O God, and that we are with clarity and thinking that we might go and be a blessing to somebody else as a result of what we hear this morning. Now we give you praise. We call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to you, Tiffany.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Minister Willa, for clearing the airways and setting us up to hear what thus says the word of the Lord. At this time, it is a privilege, a pleasure, and an honor for me to bring to you our speaker for this morning. Like, see, you know, a lot of times we go online and we Google things, but see, I decided this morning to just put in Google Pastor Chuck, and when I put in Pastor Chuck this morning, it came up, first of all, Pastor Chuck on Facebook, Pastor Chuck 2 on Twitter, but I know him as our Wednesday speaker. He is truly a man of God. He walks in class and with excellence, and if it's not with excellence, then he doesn't associate with it because he wants things done right and in order and God's way. He is the pastor of Kingdom Builders Fellowship Worship Center in Louisiana. He started that ministry back in 2004. He is also the author of The Depth of the Desperate Woman. And if you haven't got that book, then I say, you know, send him a friend request and invite him to be your friend and tap into finding out how you could get that book into your household. He is also the husband of Marcia Brown and the father of Charles III and Christina Eve. And at this time, it is my pleasure to bring to you that man of God that God has chosen for this hour, none other than Pastor Chuck Brown at this time. Pastor Chuck, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning. Welcome, my brother. The floor
praise
is yours.
God. Thank you so very much. We praise God for you and just to see and witness the growth that God is demonstrating through you. It's just an awesome, awesome sight to behold. And I bless the Lord for you and the wonderful prayer that went forth by our minister. We bless the Lord for you as well for setting the atmosphere to receive the word of God and to just hear from God. God bless as well Dr. Vanessa and Dr. PK, the founders of this call. We bless the Lord for you and for your diligence and faithfulness in maintaining what God has assigned you to do. I want to get right into what the Lord has assigned me this morning. And you know, I've been ministering and sharing on this word concerning the favor experience. And I'm still here, you all, the favor experience. God has given this to me as an assignment. And until he releases me, I've just got to keep giving these nuggets that God has given me. Today I want to share from this subject, the favor requisite. The favor requisite. The purpose of these messages is to show you that in addition to all of life's experiences, God wants you to experience his favor. And the question that I always ask is how can I remain in a position of favor? I don't know about you, but I don't want to experience God's favor once and then not experience it again. I don't want just this week to be wonderful. I want subsequent weeks to be equally as wonderful. I don't want just one winning season. I want consecutive winning seasons. I want my favor to last. But here's the thing that you must realize if you're going to continually walk in the flow of God's favor. Hear me and hear me well. Here it is. Every environment requires a code of conduct for entering or remaining in it. Every environment requires a code of conduct for entering or remaining in it. Think about it. The environment of the palace is different from the environment of prison. The environment of greatness is different from the environment of mediocrity. The environment of court is different from the environment of going into a full stadium. The environment of a church is different from the environment of your home. There is a requirement for entering a certain environment. If you don't meet the requirements, not only can you not enter the environment you desire, but also you won't be able to survive in that environment if you are allowed to enter. There are many who get in but become overwhelmed once they arrive because they either did not understand the code or did not adhere to the code. For you to experience and maintain a lifetime of God's favor, you must be willing to adhere to what is required. Notice that I did not use the word prerequisite, not the favor prerequisite, but rather requisite, because prerequisites are conditions or requirements needed before something else happens. The only prerequisite for God to move in your life is to receive His Son as Lord and Savior. Everything else happens as we go and as we grow. It can't be prerequisites because then we're all disqualified. Listen, tell the truth. If God had to base His goodness on how good you've been in your life, you'd be in trouble. If God used the decisions I've made throughout my life to determine if He was going to use me or not, then I don't qualify to be called. I don't qualify to preach or sing or pray or even praise. That's why I often say that God never consults your past to determine your future. No, He does not. I actually also hear Dr. Mike Murdoch said that a lot, but God never goes to your past to determine your future. However, there is something you must do in order to maintain what God does for you now. And here's the thing you need to know. There are levels within the kingdom of God. Everybody does not experience the same level of favor. Everybody does not experience the same level of prosperity or the same level of abundance or success or growth. We don't all experience the same levels of maturity or peace. Is it because God is partial or respect the person? No, absolutely not. It's simply because favored folk do what others won't do. Favored people do what others refuse to do. You can have peace too, but it's going to require that you keep your mind stayed on Him. You can have good success in your life, but it's going to require that you meditate on Him day and night and follow His commands. You can have abundance and prosperity too, but you're going to have to adhere to the code of conduct that will position you to experience them. If not, you'll stay at the level you're on. God's favor is His special affection that He pours down into our lives that causes His influence to be felt through us. It's His special affection that He pours down into our lives that causes His influence to be felt through us. God's favor causes doors you've been knocking on for years but couldn't get through to open for you. God's favor causes opportunities that have been eluding you for months to be extended to you. How many of you want a lifetime of favor? You want a lifetime of God's peace and opportunities and open doors and miracles? Then here's what you're going to have to know. These are the requisites for a lifetime of favor. Now, let me warn you, some of them are going to mess with how you're living right now. Some of them are going to make you wonder long and hard about whether or not it's worth having favor. But I'm here to tell you that it's worth obtaining and maintaining God's favor. These principles ain't popular, but it will give you what the general populace does not have, and that is a lifetime of God's favor. First of all, I want to read Scripture, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Well, let me go ahead and give you a principle. Favor is number one. Favor requires that you change who you've been. Favor requires that you change who you have been. Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, reading out of the New Living Translation, but it's the same word of God. Check this out. It says this in verse 17. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell, King James says, gates of hell, shall not prevail or have power over you. So favor requires that you change who you've been. To those of you on the line who will say stuff, who like to say stuff like, that's just the way I am, or I've been like this all my life and I sure ain't about to change now, you might want to change your tune, because God can't use who you've been. Who you were will keep you from who you should be, and God's favor can only be released on who you're supposed to be, not who you used to be. Let me go further. Verse 17, it says, you are blessed, Simon. Then in verse 18, it says, but I now say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. God wants to build on you, but he will not build on that ugly you. He won't build it on that weak you. He has to change who you are so that the new you can handle the new favor. Trust me, the old you cannot handle. It cannot handle all that God wants to do. It can't handle the new favor. Trust me, the old you can't handle all of the new things God wants to do in you. I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. And if y'all just... pardon me. Just go with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. It reads this. It reads, Jesus is talking. It says, besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. So the only way that you're going to be able to experience the new release is for you have to in order to get that, you have to have an upgrade, and you need to from time to time to say, Lord, upgrade me. Remember, favor is bringing you places. It's bringing you places you've never been to before. And because you've never been there, you won't know how to behave. So God has to transform you now so that you can be ready to occupy his promise. That's exactly why Israel could not go straight from Egypt, the land of bondage, to Canaan, the land of promise, because they had that old, nasty, stank slavery attitude. Listen to me well. You cannot go in with that old nasty mindset you had before God brought you out. How are you still going to be acting like a slave when Christ has freed you? If any man be in Christ, they are new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, the Bible says, all things have become new. Listen, I want you to ask yourself a question, and I really want you to really think about it. I want you to do this introspectively. Are you holding you back? Are you holding yourself back? Don't hold your own self back. If there's something about you that needs to change, change it now so that it won't hinder you from living a lifetime of favor that God wants to pour into you. Do I watch this? This is what the Lord gave me. Jesus refused to build the church on Simon. He said, you must now be Peter. Let me tell you what Simon means. Most of us know, because the Bible's specific. It is explicit in its understanding and translation of what Peter means. Peter means rock, but the name Simon means shifting sand. While Peter means rock, Simon meant shifting sand. Simon cried too much. I need you to be a rock. Simon fell too much. I need you to be stronger. Simon complained too much. I need you to be a praiser. Simon procrastinated too much. I need you to be on your game. I don't need you shifting all the time. Somebody makes you mad, you shift. Somebody ticks you off, you shift. Somebody comes at you the wrong way, you forget who I've made you, and you shift back into the old you. I want you to be Peter, solid as a rock. And when you're Peter, it doesn't matter who comes at you and whatever way they come at you, you'll be solid. That's who I'm going to favor. I will not favor Simon. I won't favor the old you. I'm favoring who I call you now, Peter. So favor requires that you reject who you've been. Here's number two. Favor requires that you create an atmosphere that corresponds to the life you want. Favor requires that you create an atmosphere that corresponds to the life you want. I'm big on Mike Murdoch. I believe this man is blessed of the Lord. He just has wisdom that pours from his pores. And this man says something that always hits me. He says that the atmosphere you create determines the product you produce. The atmosphere you create determines the product you produce. So I don't care how many tongues you speak in. I don't care how long you've been saved and how much anointing you got on you. If you are creating an environment of chaos, you're going to reap a harvest of chaos. If you create an environment of hurt, you're going to reap a harvest of hurt. If, you know, calling everybody in the house stupid and nobody ever forgives the other, you don't talk, you always holler, then you're going to always reap a harvest of pain. Favor cannot survive in the wrong atmosphere. A fish cannot survive outside of the environment it was created to flourish in. A bird cannot survive in conditions outside of the environment it was created to thrive in. A polar bear can't survive in Africa, neither can a lion survive in Alaska. Your life will continue to produce harvest based on the seed you're sowing and the environment that you're creating. Think about this. Say, for instance, I wanted an apple tree. I can have the right seed. I have an abundance of apple seeds, but I sow it onto concrete. Will I see an apple tree come into existence? No. Why? Why not? It's because I did not sow the seed into an environment conducive to what I wanted. Hallelujah. I did not sow that seed into an environment conducive to the harvest that I desire. And if you don't create an environment of success, buying the right clothes ain't going to help you. Buying the right books won't help you. Even listening to the right word won't help you. I told you that I had apple seeds. The seeds weren't the problem. The books aren't the problem. The intentions aren't always the problem. It's that I'm sowing the right seed into the wrong atmosphere, and I will continually reap failure. What life do you want? And then what life do you want? Be honest with yourself on this next question. Is the life you're living, is the life you're presently right now, I'm talking about today, living, going to produce the life that you say you want? Are your financial decisions that you're making right now going to produce the financial harvest you want? Is the way you interact with others going to produce the kind of loving relationships you desire? Is the example you set before your children going to produce the kind of adults that you want them to be? If not, then your life is hindering your favor. God, I told you it wasn't going to be popular. I told you it wasn't going to be popular. I tried to warn you. Number three, favor requires the willingness to take uncommon action. Favor requires the willingness to take uncommon action. Uncommon action. Not regular action, uncommon action. Favor requires, that you take uncommon action. And I'm going to just reference this for you. This, trust me, is in the Word because of time. Exodus chapter 14. You can read the entire chapter, but verses 5 through 6 and then verses 10 through 18, you could just look at it and just trust me, it's here. Only uncommon action brings uncommon blessings. When you major in the ordinary, you live an ordinary life. Now, that may be fine for some of y'all, but it's not fine for me. Not when God says I can live the abundant life. Not when God says I'm the lender, not the borrower. Not when God says I can do great and wonderful, he'll do great and wonderful things in my life. If he says this about me, then there is something unusual about my existence and unusual about my future. So God wants to do something unusual through me, but it's going to require me to do something unusual for him. In that chapter, Exodus chapter 14, God brought them out, the children of Israel, out of bondage, yet their bondage continued to pursue them. This is when Pharaoh thought about what he had done when he released them. Let me tell you from experience that just because you get delivered from something does not mean it's going to be delivered from you. Just because you get set free from something does not mean it won't hunt you down. The devil misses you. He misses being able to have you in a place of unproductive living. He misses having you in a place of frustration and misery and pain and humiliation. The Israelites are at the brink of escape when they turn around and see Pharaoh and his army coming after them. They would go east or west, but the mountainous region hinders them from doing so. They want to go forward, but in front of them is the Red Sea prohibiting their progress. And Moses tells them to do something that was going to get them killed. He says, not God, so make sure you read that verse, because that's not what God says. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God's going to fight for you. Don't say nothing. Don't do nothing. Don't move. Don't apply. Don't go. Don't confront. Don't pursue. The problem was God did not say that. Read the scripture again. God hears what Moses is telling the folk, and he says, why are you sitting here crying to me? Why are you sitting here depressed? Why are you sitting here paralyzed? Why are you sitting here crying and moping and complaining? And I love how the NLT, the New Living Translation states it in verse 17. Verse 15, it says, tell the people to get moving, because if they don't move, they're going to die. If she doesn't apply for the job, she's going to get put out of her home. If he doesn't do something right now, his family will collapse. Don't stay still. Get going. Get moving. Again, the issue is now, how are they going to move forward? And that's the point of this principle. God's favor is revealed when you take uncommon action. You don't see his favor by playing it safe. There are some gambles and risks that you're going to have to take in order to see who God can be in your life. God have mercy. Remember that I said God told them to move forward, because in another instance, words, in the scripture, God told Jehoshaphat, stand still and see my salvation. In other words, don't move when God is telling you to wait, and don't wait when God is telling you to move. I keep sharing this testimony with everyone. When I sought the Lord about the building that we're in, God told me to go after it with every fiber of my being, and he made it happen. And that's where favor kicks in, because we did not qualify for it. And at the time, we weren't even raising enough money to be able to afford to be there. Now, I want you to get this in your spirit. God's favor has absolutely nothing to do with your ability, but all to do with God's ability. God's favor has nothing to do with your ability, but all to do with God's ability. If you could do it, then you don't need him. It was unconventional because we hadn't had the building appraised or anything. We just moved forward. We didn't know if we would have the money for a down payment. We just moved forward. And you know what happened? The down payment, they told me, was $16,000. And I looked at my wife and I said, cut the check. She looked at me with concern because we didn't even have $1,600 in the bank. But the Lord said to do it, and I told her to cut the check. It wasn't about what we had. It was about what God had. And God had everything in control. Now, guess what happened? The business manager of the sellers tells us, okay, we're just going to hold this check in our file cabinet and give it back to you when we close. Okay, so in other words, they weren't even going to cash the check. They just was going to hold on to the check. God knew that other ministries wanted this facility, so if I didn't take uncommon action, I don't receive uncommon favor. If I don't walk out in uncommon faith, I don't receive an uncommon miracle. You are too busy worrying about how God's going to do what he's going to do, and that's not my problem. All God wants for me to do is to do what he says. So if it means stepping out of the boat and walking on water like Peter did, so be it. If it means getting five rocks to put in my slingshot to kill the giants in my life like David, so be it. If it means walking around the walls of Jericho seven times and praising like Joshua and them did, then so be it. If it means using my beauty to get me in my door like Esther, standing when others bow like the three Hebrew boys, or challenging the devil to a test, Elijah, or even hanging on a cross like Jesus, then I'm going to do it. It's uncommon, but I need you to understand, I prayed for this. I cried for this. I bled for this. I hurt for this. I went through hell for this. I went through floods and rain and hurricanes. So whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it, no matter how silly it sounds. I can't afford it, but God, I'm going to do it anyway. If I pay my tithes this month, I don't know how I'm going to make it, God, but I'm going to do it anyway. My spouse really cut me deep this time, God, and it's hard to forgive and forget, but I'm going to do it because I want to live in favor. So if God tells you to do something others don't understand, get ready, because that means unusual favor is coming your way. I wonder if anybody on the line can stand an unusual miracle, an unusual breakthrough, an unusual lifestyle, a lifestyle that other people don't have. God said, well, if you do the things that I'm telling you to do, then you'll have it. I have one last point that ain't going to really take. It's not going to take long because I don't have to preach it. I don't even have to I don't have to say much about it. You just got to do it. Here's number four. Favor requires that you give God praise before you see it. God, yeah. Favor requires that you give God praise before you see the manifestation. To those of you who can only praise once you get the promise, you won't have a lifetime of favor. Because what if God doesn't do it tomorrow? Can you still praise him? What if he doesn't do it next week? Will you still glorify him? My reality cannot determine my praise. My faith does. There's someone right now who is facing a serious situation, but you dare to praise God. Don't you realize what your praise is doing? Your praise is bringing you closer to your promise. Your praise is bringing you closer to your healing. Your praise is bringing you closer to your promotion and your elevation. If you can praise him before you get it, then God knows you'll praise him once it happens. Your praise now is just a precursor to how you're going to act when the money is released. Your praise right now is just a precursor to how you're going to act when you do get peace at home, or when you really get the promotion on your time, or your business gets off the ground. If you want to have favor for a lifetime, then you're going to have to do certain things in your life right now. You're going to have to change some things about you, and God will favor you like never before. I trust that this word has blessed you, but not just blessed you and excited you, but I hope that it challenged you to get yourself and position yourself to experience God's favor like never before. I love you with the love of the Lord. Tiffany, it's back in your hands, Minister Tiffany.
Glory, glory, glory to God. What a powerful word of God this morning. I'm receiving texts that people's souls are rejoicing and overflowing. So, man of God, we thank you for that word today. The favor requisite. He said, change yourself, change your atmosphere, have the willingness to take uncommon action and give God the praise before you see the manifestation. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word this morning. I say go back and replay that message. Tap on, pass that word on Facebook today, because truly people need to hear that word today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. At this time, Minister Robin, if you would come on the line and seal this call in prayer right now.
Can you hear me, Minister Tiffany?
Loud and clear, my sister. Go ahead.
Praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Chuck, for that powerful word. And we are going to rejoice. We're going to take this time right now and just thank the Lord. Father, we want to come before you and thank you, Lord, because we know you're the one who already began the work. You're the one who is causing us to walk in your favor. Lord God, we're going to change our atmosphere so that we can produce the product that is pleasing to you and to ourselves, Father. Lord God, I thank you right now, God, that Angela has your favor, Jackie has your favor, Marie and Mother Whitaker have your favor, in addition to each person under the sound of my voice, Lord. We are glad, Lord, because you are the one, Lord God, who gives us that favor, Father, and we will rejoice. We give you thanks for everything that you've done, because we know your mercies are new. They're new every single day, Lord. Show us what we need to do. Show us how to walk in that favor, Father. We want to be a blessing to others as you are a blessing to us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Back to you, Minister Tiffany.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. Glory to God. Thank you, Minister Robin, for sealing this word of God and sealing our call. To you, Minister Willa, thank you for greeting our family this morning and for opening us up in prayer. And to you, the man of God, Pastor Chuck Brown, my God, that's all I can say right now. God is awesome. I tell you, each of you, the Master Call family listeners, this morning, go out and rejoice in the Lord. Go out and praise the Lord, because he said your reality cannot handle your praise. Oh, my God. So go out and submit and obey the will of God to be that minister in the marketplace. To you, the founders of this call, Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa, we love you. To each one of you, we love you. Have the warmest of kingdom greetings as you go out this day and be that great minister in the marketplace, walking around with favor. God bless you until we meet again on tomorrow. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Goodbye for now.